The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the Psalms, King David writes, When I look at your heavens, O Lord, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. We probably don't consider the truth of these words as often as we should. It's easy for us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. After all, human beings were the crown of God's creation. He gave them dominion over everything that he had made. Nevertheless, they were nowhere near his equal. We are creatures. And because of sin, mortal creatures. No more substantial than a breath or a fleeting shadow. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so far do God's glory and power surpass ours. To put it simply, he is God, eternal, almighty, incomparable God. He is God, and we are not. And yet, this one, this ineffable God, Jesus would have us address as Father. This is an amazing, unexpected, blessed gift. Jesus alone has the right to address God as Father. Jesus alone has access to God as his one and only Son. Yet when one of his disciples says, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples, Jesus responds, When you pray, say, Father. It's worth noting that Jesus doesn't set his followers to work by themselves with instructions on the theory and practice of prayer. He teaches us to pray by giving us his prayer, the prayer that he prays. He gets us to join with him as he prays to his heavenly Father. One of my teachers has written about this. With the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us much more than a set prayer that is to be the model for all our prayers. He gives us his own status as God's Son and allows us to share in all the privileges of his unique relationship with his heavenly Father. By giving us his prayer, he includes us in his relationship with his Father and allows us to act as if we were him, dressed up in him. By giving us his prayer, Jesus puts us in his shoes and involves us in his royal mission, the holy vocation as the royal Son of God. We may therefore stand in his shoes and pray with him for the hallowing of his Father's name and the coming of his Father's kingdom. Still, it gets even better than that. The prayer that Jesus gives us to pray with him is, in fact, his prayer for us and for the whole world. In it, he does not just address God as his own Father, but as our Father. He goes as far as to pray for our daily bread, our forgiveness, and our protection and temptation, even though he himself needs none of these things. Jesus therefore identifies himself with us and our needs, necessities, sins, and temptations. Isn't this amazing when you think about it? When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying with Jesus. Or perhaps I could say it this way. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is praying with us. And not only with us, but for us. On our behalf, Jesus asks the Father that his name would be holy among us and that his kingdom would come to us. We could doubt that the Lord would hear our prayer. We have no basis for any claim on him. Indeed, because of our sins, he could rightly deny our prayers. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. But because this is Jesus' prayer for us, we can know without any doubt that our Heavenly Father will hear us when we pray it. And with this prayer, we can be confident too that for Jesus' sake, God will give us all we need to support this body and life, will forgive us all our sins, and will guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. All of this we know. Of all of this we can be confident because this is Jesus' prayer for us and for us to pray. And even when we fail to pray as we ought, Jesus still prays this prayer, prays it for you and for me. This is great news. But there's even more great news in our text. Having given this precious prayer to his disciples, Jesus continues telling them the parable of the friend at midnight. At the center of the interpretation of this parable is the absolute duty of hospitality in the first century. The question Jesus asks, it takes about the first half of the parable, can have only one answer. Under no circumstances would any friend refuse to supply bread for a guest in the village, even if that request came in the middle of the night. It was impossible to imagine such a thing. Any man who behaved that way would never have been able to live down the shame and the ruin of his reputation. Each and every time such a knock at the door would be answered, such seeking of help would result in finding it, and such asking for bread would result in it being given. And that, Jesus wants us to know, is the way it is with prayer to our Heavenly Father, too. Like the friend fast asleep in his shuttered house, who would get up immediately to provide the necessary bread, so also with God. He isn't hard to rouse or reluctant to give, but will willingly, eagerly provide those things which are necessary and serve our eternal welfare. Thus, when the answer to any of our prayers is no, it isn't because God is unwilling or unable to give or help. Rather, the no is an indication that in His unlimited wisdom and according to His abundant grace and mercy, it is best for you not to receive what you requested. With this parable, then, Jesus wants to assure us that God will listen to our prayers and will provide us with all that we need. Therefore, we should never hesitate to ask, because Jesus has promised that our Father in heaven will hear us. Finally, Jesus compares our Heavenly Father to earthly fathers. A child doesn't need to worry when he asks for food that his father will give him something that could harm him or put him in danger. That's not the way that fathers treat their children. And if that's true concerning human fathers, though they are evil, and that they know how to give good gifts to their children, even more so than will the Heavenly Father give His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Will give the Holy Spirit to overcome our inability to pray properly. Christ not only has given us His prayer, but He also gives us the power to address His Heavenly Father as His dear children by pouring out His Holy Spirit in our hearts. Prayer, then, is truly a gift of the Triune God. We pray to the Father, we pray together with the Son, and we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ won forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation for you by coming to earth, by taking on human flesh, so that He could obey God's law perfectly in your place and on your behalf. And then suffer the punishment for your sin on His cross. By His death and resurrection, Jesus accomplished your salvation once and for all. But He doesn't just rest on His laurels now. Still today He works among us through His Word and Spirit, calling sinners to faith and strengthening them in their trust in Him. Still today He intercedes for you with the Father, praying for your reception of His word, that His kingdom would come to you, and that you would abide in it always. And still today, He encourages you to pray with boldness and confidence, asking God with the same confidence and trust as dear children ask their dear Father. The apostle writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. And so we can pray to the Father, together with Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that all the promises of God find their yes in Christ Jesus. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.